Thank you for tuning in to the Head Game Podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
We are back with another episode of the Head Game, powered by Mindful Athlete Training. After our year hiatus, we are ready to bring you new, exciting content. Today, we're going to be talking about how everyday routine gets disrupted and what we can do about it. In addition, we talk about how stress can be your biggest ally and how you can lean more into chaos. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a new episode of The Head Game.
Watching this before bed, is it affecting your sleep? How does it work?
It's not, again, it's a documentary. It's very scientific. It's very analytical. There are obviously, you know, horrific emotional foundational elements behind what has happened. But I found it very interesting. And I don't typically gravitate to those types of shows. But the way in which it was presented, and you get to know the cast of characters very, very quickly. And from the time in which he is charged until the end of the documentary is 13 years. So you watch children grow up, they have families of their own, age and length of time become a variable in play. So again, all different elements that constitute the game that sometimes people play with themselves, with others, even at the highest of stakes. It seems as if some people may not waver in their ability to play that game. So it just got me thinking. It made me curious. So
it's interesting, all the shows that have been coming out, and just the mass amount of documentaries and Netflix and the streaming services. It feels sometimes like there's so many, and everything is super important. And when I talk to people, it's like, you have to watch this. This is great.
Oh yeah.
And it becomes it's a game of how do I actually spend that time and how do I actually be able to watch those things. It's exciting, but also sometimes challenging to engage with. And I think that brings up to you know, we are back. You know, we're back with the Head Game. It's been a little bit over a year since we've had our last podcast with Hugo Armando down from Florida. And so we're back now, and it's exciting time for us. And so kind of want to give an update to all of our listeners, what we've been up to and what we're looking forward to. So Lee, what have you been up to? What have we been up to this past year? You know, what can we share with the people, and really just giving them a taste of what the new Head Game, the new and improved Head Game that we're really trying to bring to them, is going to be all about?
Well, it's interesting when you think about a year and you think about, you know, one trip around the sun and how long 365 days really can be. Certainly it can feel. You know, our Head Game podcast was really birthed out of COVID, coming from more traditional radio transmission. And then we went into the studio and we had more advanced video and technological support, which allowed us to have more live guests. And then I guess really over the past year, I think because we've devoted so much more time and energy to developing relationships, partnerships with the right people as Mindful Athlete Training continues to advance. And we came to the realization, you and I, that it's time for us to kind of get back to what we feel we do a pretty good job of, which is lending an expert opinion on human behavior, specifically how and why people think the way that they do in key moments.
Yep.
And I think because
we want to bring value, right? We want to bring that value of peering behind the curtain, as you were saying earlier, peering behind the curtain of the mind of that high performer. Really bringing that out to understand, you know, how are they thinking, what they were thinking in key moments, and really to be a value resource for them so that people can listen and gear and kind of apply it to their own lives, right? We want to bring that more to the community, that there can be more mental fitness within that community. And that's awareness of what high performers are doing on a daily basis, as well as high performing key moments. you know, I think it's exciting, and we're hoping to kind of, you know, bring that more so in the forefront and of more of a tidal wave, less than a, you know, a drinking hose, in terms of doing it in a shorter format, being more intensive. I think it's going to be exciting for people to listen to, and we hope everyone can join us along this journey as we bring some new high-level people along the way.
When you say mental fitness, and we've talked about this, when you say what's really been going on in the last year, we've probably had the most intense period mm-hmm. of our development, and really conceptualizing, really for the general public's consumption, what mental fitness is. You know, how we've come to operationally define it. And it gets me thinking just of, you know, when you get up in the morning and you go about your daily business, and everyone has a particular regimen that they follow, a routine that makes them comfortable. Mm-hmm. Because for the most part, we seek comfort, we seek stasis, this position of doing things the same way without too much turbulence, for lack of a better word. We'd like our takeoffs to be smooth, and we'd like our landings to be even smoother. And when we hop in our car every day, we simply just kind of turn the key, expecting for the engine to start. And unless we're in the auto mechanical business, which I am not, we take for granted, Hunter, so much about the car is just supposed to work, where it's a very assuming point of view. And I think mental fitness to a degree is analogous to that.
Hmm. Yeah. So again, you're talking about, you walk out on a daily basis and you turn the key and you don't even think about it. Your car just starts.
It's just supposed to start. That's what it does until
the day it doesn't. It's, oh crap. Right.
And then what happens? When's the last time I changed the oil? I should have done a better job taking care. Right. And that's a lot what human beings do with their mindset.
Yep.
Right. And that's so much of what we've been discussing over the past year to different types of audiences, ones that are like-minded, ones that are listening, relationships like Azimuth Consulting, which we're going to be going out to Montana in about 6 weeks to go on the Traverse, which is a very world-class, exciting leadership expedition. Where we're going to be, you know, traveling over 25 miles over the course of 4 days up and down throughout the Montana mountains. Thinking about how people that are not in the military every single day just expect that their mind is going to work well and their body is going to respond even better because of it. Making that assumption until one day it doesn't.
Right. And when it fails, it fails big because you don't have the resources or the tools to start to climb up. You know, a lot of times I'm talking with people and a lot of the athletes I work with, it's kind of like when you get to a roller coaster, as you get to the cranking of it going up, and then you finally get to the top and it's about to crest. Once you get to a certain point, there's a point of no return, right? The ride is going to go. And you're just along for the ride. And although you might be scared and you might want to hold on for dear life, it's going without your consent, right? And you're just going down. And that happens with a lot of people, is they're going that climb, that anticipation is coming, but they don't actually know when it does. And once it does, it's out of their hands. And I think mental fitness is a component really that allows people to engage in a different way with that mentality as well as their world, right? Mental fitness is much more of a proactive approach, similar to physical fitness, where you're engaging in your physical body so that if you need to run a mile, you're capable of doing it. If you need to walk or even stand up, you're capable of doing it. But mental fitness isn't necessarily a component that people are constantly thinking about or thinking about engaging with. That's going to help them live just a more fulfilling and engaging life. So mental fitness, you know, we talk about a lot of what's that definition. And for me, mental fitness means I can pull on the resources that I need to when I need them. So it's not if, but when those challenges come, that I have the resources and tools set in place. It's kind of like having the 6 month savings in your bank account just in case a bad day happens. You're doing it in a proactive approach so that you have those resources and tools so it doesn't create as much strain and stress. And yes, it's stressful. Yes, it's challenging, but at least you have some wiggle room. But mental fitness, if you don't have that, you don't have that wiggle room. So you're just then holding on for dear life, hoping you don't hit rock bottom.
That's a good way to say it. I'm sitting here listening to you talk about that, and I'm thinking about the car. I'm thinking about when it doesn't work. And we go through a, most of us, I'll say, go through a very basic troubleshooting. Okay, what could it be? Mm-hmm. What's potentially wrong with the car? And it might be two things, it might be five. But it's, for most of us, the majority, the mass majority, it's a small, short burst lived effort to correct, to fix. And once we've exhausted that, it's a feeling of helplessness where do I have someone I can call? Do I, was I proactive and sensible enough? Some might say smart enough to get AAA service. Who can I rely on to help me with the correction of what I assumed was going to work? And when you think about the past year, when you think about different types of athletes on a world-class level that have come forward and talked about their difficulty, their need for a respite, their need to recover, or in some cases, retreat, just remove themselves from competition completely, right? It seems like that number is more and more increasing. Well, that's kind of analogous to if the car isn't working and I can't find someone to help me, well, I guess the car is disabled. I guess it's broken. I guess it just doesn't work. Well,
everybody's trading it in. Everybody's kind of letting it go. And it's they're just giving they're giving it away, right? They're saying, well, it's a broken car, so I just need a new to fix a new one. You know, I was recently clearing out my closet. I just bought a new house, actually, and I know you're aware of it, but the listeners, thanks
congratulations
for that support or damning. Yeah, especially in this market, it was definitely a challenge nonetheless. But I was looking at some old clothes, and one of the things I hold on to is I hold on to a lot of pair of pants that are ripped. And I'm always in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to fix them. I'm going to patch them up. You know, I'm going to fix the knees, whatever it needs to be to kind of fix these things up. And then in my mind, as I'm starting to prepare to pack and move, I'm like, am I ever going to fix these? You know, I think about the car, what you're saying, it's like, am I just going to toss out the car or should I fix it? And I thought about the, you know, 100 years ago, the non-consumer market that was existing, that you had to fix things. You had to repair things. You had to be proactive about maintaining high quality, and then you would just continue to fix, continue to fix, continue to fix. And that's why things lasted as long as they did. I feel like today, especially in our society, the mentality is if it's not working, throw it away.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The car is, well, it's not working, so throw it away. It must not be working. I must not be good, or the value is broken, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Why do you think that's the consensus or the general attitude?
Well, I think there's definitely things that are more readily available to us, which allows things to be at our fingertips constantly, which means that we're looking for that reinforcement of good or working or right on a constant basis. And if that thing doesn't occur, it becomes this overwhelming force versus when you used to be maybe more inclined to fix things when things were challenging or when things got broke. The mentality was, well, I will fix this. I will renew it. And I think resiliency comes as a result of that, of the mentality to fix things, to not to just inherit things that are broken or to be broken, but instead that I can fix things that are challenging or fix things that are difficult. Yeah, so I think the mentality has shifted significantly for people, including myself, which I continue to engage with to help myself to be more proactive that, you know what, I'm going to try to make sure that there's high quality for as long as I can, but if something isn't working in the way which I want it to, I have the resources and tools to know that I can fix it. I can trust in my ability and skill set, and if I don't have that skill set and ability, I have to go learn. I have to spend energy and time, and although that is difficult, it's going to allow me to approach it much more in a growth element or a fixed mindset or non-fixed mindset, but more of a growth element to help me engage in a more proactive measure or more positive measure even.
Yeah, I think about that culturally just for a moment of just how people might learn the same way that, again, back to the car of if you grow up with that influence to be proactive about some basic operation of your vehicle, you're staying more on top of oil changes, fluids,
right?
The more common things, which is really in the long run, making the vehicle more efficient. It's making it safer, but you're rewarding the operation of the vehicle with the mindset that allows it to do its job. And I think so often right. with the, we're talking about the concept of mental fitness. So often people don't assign proactive value to all aspects of their mental process working properly. There's a huge assumption when you think about athletic performance, when you think about the ability to excel over time, there's so much emphasis on the physical development, on the strength, the size, the speed. The assumption still persists that all aspects of mental that we all know when there's a problem impact physical the most significantly require just as much attention, nurturing, development, proactive approach. But yet there's still this delay. Why do you think that is?
The delay, I guess, around mental, is that what you're asking? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I think about, again, let's continue with this car analogy. It's like you can have all of the oil, you can have the perfect engine, V12, ready to go, but if the brains of the computer, the fuel injection electrical system that is the brain that allows it to start, isn't working, it doesn't matter how beautiful your car is, how great the horsepower is, it won't start. It doesn't matter. It can't perform in the way in which it will. But I think people don't necessarily see that because it's not the visual. It's not the cool, right? It's not the thing that's continually in their face, where if you look at the engine, if you look at the horsepower, you can feel those things consistently. But the mental tends to not be there as often. And I think people aren't always recognizing, because it's exactly your point. It's not a problem until it is. People aren't recognizing it proactively until it is the problem. Where physical, because there's a lot more visualization, you can see the change. You can see it visually happening and people engaging with it. Where a lot of people don't know where to start even training their mental or engaging in their mental in a unique and defined way. And I also think the way that people are approaching it a lot of times, you know, we've talked a lot about it, you know, we're in the field, you know, are people approaching training their mental in the right way? And we constantly say yes, but no. And the no tends to be the training in which is happening right now is a lot more static, and the world and the environment in which they're in is not static. And so training in a neutral environment that's vacuumous is not necessarily preparing them for life. It's actually doing the opposite. It's setting them up to be more reactive, actually, of looking for those challenges. And once those challenges or stresses occur, let's remove ourselves. And that's allowing them to recover, but it's not allowing them to heal, and it's not allowing them to push forward.
I think it's also, too, because, and I say this being part of that club up until the more recent period in time when mindful athlete training really committed to this notion of more dynamic training, is that we're not modeling enough, in my opinion, as professionals across the board to engage in more aggressive training that is practical, that is realistic, that is more of an appropriate mirror of the challenges that athletes have in real time. Because of the traditional nature of sports psychology, it's always been the baseline to help people understand in more of a controlled environment why they may struggle in an environment that lacks control. And there's a disconnect there. That's always been the hurdle in any form of self-help. You have to try to mimic, you have to try to portray, or even in some cases imagine what that out of control or chaotic experience is like, to better simulate, keyword, what someone's experience is like firsthand, to then walk them through kind of in the more traditional mental hold-handing experience, to better pave that way for them to make self-correction, increase awareness, and eventually engage in different action.
Yeah, I think the best example of that is when you can actually get on the field or you can work with somebody in their space where they're trying to perform and you can see what they're like. You know, I find it rarely that the full connection occurs in terms of that feeling that that person is experiencing in a sterile environment or a static environment. I think training them in their environment or more of a challenging environment just brings out more of their real, more of their natural, their knee-jerk response, if you will, of how they actually respond under chaos, under duress, and under challenge. And this is what we're constantly talking about, that people aren't engaging the mental similar to the physical, right? You need proper stress with good recovery, which allows for optimal growth. And if you're not engaging with that, your brain isn't being challenged and stress becomes this profile that is bad, right? When something is stressful, what is the natural response to that?
Avoid it.
Avoid it, right? Get away from it. This is uncomfortable. This is going to be bad.
Well, this goes to the point, Hunter, that people aren't seeking imbalance.
Right. And this is what we want people to explore more often. And our high performers, and the more that you hear from them, I think you'll hear this theme common throughout, that they are the people who are willing to seek those challenges and lean into that chaos as they face those challenges. And I think as a result of that, those are the people who grow, and those are the people who are willing to embrace the challenges of life, which allows them to just live a more fulfilling and successful life as well. So you're talking about that imbalance, people not necessarily seeking that imbalance. People look for stasis. People look for things that are comfortable. But that typically then elevates the things that are uncomfortable. And what I mean by elevate is it makes it more terrifying. It makes it more scary. It makes it more bad, right? And when you make something bad, you want to engage with it less. So when it rears its head, you're no longer facing it. You are trying to run from it.
Right. We talked about this. It's the scary monster in the closet, right? The more that you avoid it and you run past it and keep the door closed, you eventually breathe life into it, that it's much larger of what we've imagined it to be versus the rip the door open, turn the light on, explore it for yourself, bathe in some of those choice few moments of discomfort to learn, to acquire, to adapt, to regulate, right, more in real time, because that exposure is now more based in vivo, live.
Yeah, and I talk about it as almost this force field, right? So if there's this force field that almost like if you've tried to put two opposing magnets together, right, you kind of feel that force, that invisible force that's pushing back against each other. It's that invisible force field that we want to push through, that naturally is curious for us. But when there is a lot of stress, that force field is strong, and we don't want to push past that. When you do, when you push past that feeling of discomfort and you take that leap of faith and you go and open that door to explore what that is, typically you will find more information, more growth in those moments than you would have waiting and waiting
collectively
for that thing to go away.
Right.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it is the embracing of that discomfort, of that challenge, that you are going to allow yourself to grow.
How do you get people to see that? How do you get people to recognize that? Right. Because that's really the million-dollar question, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you say it and you spell it out, it makes so much sense. It's a sensible reaction, right? When you break away from stasis, from that internal thermometer temperature of 68 degrees that just makes us comfortable, we learn more in a few moments, perhaps, than collectively in years. Mm-hmm. But how do you get people to buy into that? How do you get people to see that?
Yeah, well, I only think there's a piece of it of people talking about it. I think there needs to be an experience. I think there needs to be opportunities for people to go and do those experiences with support, of course, actually to help push them through that. But I think you need to encourage them. I think just words can push them to do it. I think some people will change. Hopefully after people hear this conversation, people are like, you know what? I am going to go ask for that raise. You know what? I am going to go try to strive for a new position. You know what? I'm going to push myself in the gym, or I'm going to push myself in my job or with my family to be more present, to become better, because I know that is challenging. And I hope people do take that just through my words. But I guarantee if people take those actions, they're going to learn considerably more. And if they need people to support through that, find those people who are going to be supportive to help push you through that, because that's going to help you feel more inclined to do that. It's why team sports is really important. It's why teams and organizations, you can get further together. So find a community of people who are also going to be supportive to help push you past it, right? You don't want to lean on them, but they can be supports. You know, a lot of times I'll talk about scaffolding versus supports. Supports hold up a building, right? Scaffolding is kind of on the sides to help, you know, fix or to help kind of keep everything straight. You want to find people who are going to be scaffolding for you, who are going to help support you, but not necessarily hold you up, right? Not going to be the people who have to hold you there. You need to do some of that on your own. So I really want people to encourage themselves to take that leap. I think to show people that, we want to show people, obviously, what's going on internally, being more aware of those things. But externally, too, you want people to lean into it. So it's a challenging show, but when people can take that leap, they're going to find themselves going a lot further.
So when I hear you say all those things, and again, the spark that sort of got us going was this, what have we been doing in our absence and the conversations regarding mental fitness and the clarification of our narrative and our identity as we continue to grow stronger. We want to take a more refined message to the people. Mm-hmm. And if there's someone out there that's listening or they're watching and they struggle to identify with mental fitness, perhaps because, one, they have seen themselves struggle for any particular reason, or two, they don't really know how to kind of put their finger on what mental fitness is. Again, I go back to the car that's been around for a while that labors sometimes when you try to bring it up to higher speed because it hasn't been conditioned. It hasn't been primed. It's kind of out of shape. You know, it hasn't really. Here's case in point, the Miami Grand Prix this past weekend. I know that you were right. I know you were glued. I know you were locked in. I did notice that Tom Brady and Michael Jordan were there. Right. When you think about all of those things that they did around the stadium in Miami to prep, to prepare, to warm up the community to the idea that this race was coming, there's a conditioning process there, right? But if we see ourselves as mentally out of shape, and some might even see ourselves as mentally unfit because we don't know what to do in key moments, what do you think are some of the key differences between those two that we could start to assist with the learning curve?
Well, I think a big thing is knowing where to start. I think people have great ambitions and goals, and I hope they explore those things. But you also have to recognize you're not going to climb Everest without training, right? And I want people to push themselves and to try new things. I think that's going to be a great place to start. You can start in your daily neighborhood. You can start with trying one new thing a day and trying to find it and trying to explore what those things are, pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, because you do need to condition yourself to think differently. Stress is information, right? We talk about that a lot. What is stress as information to you, Lee?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's my activating agent. Like it's my heart light, to kind of go back to, like, I'm dating myself, like E.T. You know, it's like the illumination that represents. It's telling me something, right? Stress is information. And so many times we get tells throughout the day in our course of our daily lives, at the workplace with a colleague, a client, a supervisor, in relationships, we get these tells.
Yep.
But if we just saw them as information and got away from the script in our heads, to flip that script, to see it more as information that we can learn from, well, now we reduce the negative stigma. So much of our challenge, Hunter, is the negative stigma associated with, did that guy just say I'm mentally fit? What does he mean? Did he just call me crazy? I'm not crazy. No, it's far from crazy. It's when was the last time you got a tune-up?
Right.
When was the last time that you got after it?
Well, what you're saying is we talk a lot about controlling your controllables, and we're talking about you have the control over your own mind and the way in which you experience life. And stress is information allows you to take that information to make that active shift, right, within your control so that you can engage in the world, you can engage in your thoughts, you can engage in your experience the way in which you want, right, which is going to help you to engage in a more fulfilling and a more listening, more organized and more fulfilled space. You know, you're talking about, hey, did I just hear him call me crazy? No, or are you hearing us talk about being proactive about something, that you need to make sure that your oil is changed, that you need to make sure that your brakes are changed, that you need to make sure that you're on top of things? Or if you don't, something bad is going to happen, but you still have the ability to, hey, you know what? Next time, I'm going to make sure that I check those things, because it's not if, but when those challenges are going to occur or something that you didn't foresee occurs, it's you telling yourself, oh, that's information for me to make a change in the future, which is going to help you continually be perpetually better, but also allow you to engage in a stress-reduced life. You know, we want to make sure that you're engaging in life so that you can find ways, or performance even, right? Not just life, but the daily performance of your life, whether that be school, whether that be work, whether that be family, right? That is a performance to some degree. You need to make sure that you're engaging with it in a proactive, mentally fit manner, which means you're trying to see things not as good or bad, because that's just going to drain you. You want to find the things that are opportunities that are going to help you grow, help you learn, but also either stay the course or make changes. And by doing those two things, by either staying the course or needing to make a change, you're going to be much more in control versus feeling like, I have all these things outside of my control. This world is crazy. Absolutely. But this world is also has a lot of great opportunities that are present for you as a result of that.
Hmm. So this all started off with what's new. I'll tell you what's new. Dr. Hunter Stevens 2.0 is new. We need to go back and check some tape.
We're coming off a year, right?
Your evolution.
Off a year, I think, of a lot of growth. We're coming off a year of a lot of growth. I think it's an opportunity for us to support the people around us, to support communities nationally and hopefully globally coming forward. And we hope to bring some really high-level people to all of you to hear their stories, hear what they're talking about, to infuse more of this information that we're trying to express. But we also want to encourage you as the listener, as the viewer, to find ways within your life that you can grow, find ways where you can be more mentally fit. And if you have questions, we're always available to answer those. We'll have that in the message descriptions of the podcast today, of my email. I want you to reach out. I want you to explore your own world. And I want you to be excited, because you know what? Although there's a lot of challenging things in this world, which we've seen over the past 2 years, and really why we wanted to get this podcast back up and running for you, is so that you guys can be excited and you guys can be empowered, because mental fitness is a wave that can create change in your life, and we hope you can embrace that.
Love it.
All right.
I don't even want to know what episode it is, but, you know, in many ways, it's kind of number one. But we've been around for a while, very different versions, but by far, in a way, evidence over the last 30 or 40 minutes, this is the one of the purest versions of what we've tried to accomplish. So in just listening to you and what we've discussed thus far, it's exciting, and we're going to get it going. So don't know what else there is much to say other than, hey, it's the head game that we all play. And that was a hell of an exploration. So thanks for weighing in, Doc Stevens.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys, everybody. Take a listen, like it, and we'll continue to see you on the other side. All right. Thanks so much, guys.